What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
It's another episode of What the Fuck, which I say every week. So, I mean, clearly you people know what show you're listening to, so I don't know why I do that. I'm an idiot, right, McMullen?
I don't think you should assume everybody knows. I mean, what if, you know, we got some Marc Maron fans in the house?
Oh, gotta go there. Oh. Hey. His show is called WTF. Mine is called What the Fuck. Not the same thing, so fuck you, McMullen.
I know it's not the same thing. I'm a fan of yours, and I'm a fan of his, and I just like disturbing shit.
Oh, just stirring up the shit. As you can hear, Fister is back. Jillian is going to be taking not some time off, like a big chunk, but she's got a bunch of stuff coming up. So over the next month or two, Fister might be filling in more than he's not.
You should have heard what you just said.
We're going to get into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This one's not fun.
No.
Charlie, this is not fun. This pissed me off. The video is even harder to fucking watch. But I sent you the video of this little 3-year-old crippled girl. She has spinal bifida, which means that while she can walk, it's painful for her to do so. So it's obviously much easier for her to sit in her wheelchair.
Right. That's an important distinction to make early on. It's not the same as being paralyzed or having muscular dystrophy. Spina bifida, you feel shit.
So this just beautiful little girl, she's got her own custom-made wheelchair, and, you know, her mom's a lawyer, so they've got money for this kind of custom stuff. That's not a problem. The TSA, they were flying from Missouri to Orlando to go to Disney World with this little girl and her two older sisters. And the TSA took them aside, forced the little girl to go through a pat-down while they checked her chair for explosives. Am I the only one who's indignant about this even before we get into the video, Charlie?
A custom-made, hot fucking pink wheelchair.
For this, for a little girl, she's 3. Have the terrorists resorted to using 3-year-old white girls to smuggle bombs onto planes in pink wheelchairs?
I think that's part of the contingency plan in case the world wakes up and they're in a Chuck Palahniuk novel.
So the mom started taping all this stuff on her iPhone. And this little girl is just terrified. The TSA agents keep yelling, and we talked about this before, Charlie. You know how cops say you can't tape me doing my job?
Yep.
The TSA agents start saying, you can't tape this. This is illegal. And the mom, very, you know, stepping up for her daughter, is like, if you're going to lay hands on my daughter, I'm goddamn taping it. And this little girl is so terrified. She is just crying. And at one point she said... She says, I don't want to go to Disney World anymore. She'd rather not go to Disney World than have this TSA thug start feeling her up for fucking explosives.
How fucked up is that?
Well, and then through, and she, the little girl basically retained her composure. Her mom hands her an iPad with a whole bunch of like Cartoon Network stuff on it. Through tears, she still says thank you to her mom for the handing her the iPad. The little girl is just so traumatized, but she's still polite. I was just offended. Somebody that we work with, Gomer over, or Arthur over at the Thespian Talk website, he couldn't even make it through the video. It was breaking his heart too much to do so.
Yeah, it was not an easy watch, man.
So what do you have to say to the TSA agents that will pat down a little crippled girl? Like I said, she has spinal bifida, and in the video they ask her to stand up. First of all, that's just... I just want to play that clip of George Takei going, you are made of stupid.
Yeah.
At these people. You know, she's in a wheelchair not for fun, people. She's in a wheelchair because she needs that.
Let me tell you how I made it through the article and the video, man. This is the one thing that kept me going. And it's actually... This sort of mindset has bailed me out a lot of times in life to get through something difficult. But I just started imagining, like, it's a long shot, but what if they found a bomb in the chair?
I think that's where their bosses are going, you know, well, the terrorists would be smart enough that they would use a little white girl, little crippled white girl, to try and smuggle bombs on, so we have to do this. On that regard, I can kind of see from their perspective, but there's also the fact, Charlie, that, let's face it, you're asking a crippled girl to stand up, you're clearly terrifying her, there has to be a better way to do this. The agents in the video were basically acting like thugs. They were basically hired goons. There's a way to do this, and there's a way not to do this. The video is how not to do this.
there are so many different ways that that could have been handled better.
Right. You could have talked to the little girl nice and said, listen, honey, we need to, you know, do this and this, and would you mind? If they did that, I actually think the mom probably would have been okay with it.
And what I think is that we need a new security method. We need something a little more accurate than a rubber-gloved pat-down from someone with 4 pounds of nail polish on each finger.
You know what? I'm going to get a lot of crap for what I'm about to say. You may not agree with me, and that's totally fine, Charlie, but do you know what the safest country for air travel is?
I'm guessing it's not America.
Israel.
Is it? Israel.
And do you know what Israel does? They racially profile. Funny how in this instance, racial profiling absolutely works. They stop over 100 incidents a year by racial profiling. They have not had one hijacking or one piece of explosives smuggled onto a plane since they started racial profiling.
Okay,
I'm going to come out and say it. It might work.
To this, I say Israel is not quite the melting pot that America is. I mean, what is racial profiling in Israel? I mean, it's basically 50-50.
But you see what I'm saying, that there are certain types of people that are going to smuggle bombs onto planes. And little crippled white girls are not that category.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think anyone should get a pass from security. I just think this is the proof that I've been looking for, that we need a better method.
TSA, you need to change. This is not the way this works. And then the fact that the TSA will hire anybody, literally anybody. They will hire drug offenders. They will hire drunk drivers. They will hire rapists. They will hire high school dropouts. I think you should have a little more concern about your hiring practices than you applied, you're hired.
No, I think this is ample evidence that airport security is not where it needs to be.
It's broken. That's all it comes down to, is it's broken. And I just wanted to, after sitting through that video, give that little girl a hug and tell her that everything would be okay and that not everyone is like this.
Right.
And the fact that she looks a lot like my niece didn't make the video any easier for me to sit through.
I can imagine.
On to that, we're going to talk drugs next. You've admitted on this show more than once that you're a smoker, right?
I am, yes.
And you live in Colorado.
Indeed.
A state that just okayed, well, it hasn't gone into effect yet, but that basically just okayed pot smoking to a small degree, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure what small degree you're referring to. I mean, once the law goes into effect, it's going to be for sale commercially. It's going to be legal to grow and to harvest and stuff. I mean, it's going to be like any other agriculture.
Well, okay, the small degree I'm talking about is what we're going to be talking about here. I sent you an article from Mother Jones, how the cops in these states that have legalized pot are going to handle stoned drivers. And is it the same as drunk drivers? And the article and tests done by various police departments have found that, no, it's not. That stoned drivers, they drive differently than drunk drivers, don't they?
Well, they very seldom exceed 6 miles an hour, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that was one of the things that they found, is that stoned drivers tend to drive really slow, whereas drunk drivers tend to drive really fast. So, since I've never been stoned, explain this to me. When you're stoned, time slows down, or you're just, you know, your reaction time is fucked, so you're overcompensating?
You okay to land this thing? No problem, man. I think you're going a little high, man.
It's okay, man. If there's one thing I know, it's how to drive when I'm stoned. It's like, you know, your perspective's fucked, so you just gotta let your hands work the controls as if you're straight.
You know your reaction time is fucked. It's not that time slows down. I mean, if anything, it seems like time accelerates to a certain degree, just because you're paying super close attention to every detail on the road. I'm not saying that it's better than drunk driving, because it's impaired is impaired. It's just maybe not as dangerous as drunk driving.
Well, do you think, let's just take Colorado as an example, since that's where you are and that's where the bulk of these tests were done in this Mother Jones article. You think that this is going to be a big problem once this goes into effect, that you're just going to see a huge rash of high drivers all over the highway? No pun intended there.
Highway.
Nice. Didn't even mean to do that, but okay.
I don't think the problem is going to like explode the way the article sort of hinted at. I mean, I don't think you're going to have any more high drivers on the road than you do now, than you did 5 years ago, before anyone even got this on the ballot.
again, not being a pot smoker, I don't know how large or little this is, but the legal limit is 3 nanograms per milliliter. Now, is that a lot of weed or not?
To be honest, until I read that article, I had never heard the term nanogram. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what kind of context to put this in. I would say to get the, in terms of impaired driving, I would say to get the equivalent of like 3 like really strong beers, not like convenience store beer, but like beer from a bar. To get that equivalent, you would probably need to smoke like probably 2 bowls of weed by yourself. Now, a bowl is probably, let's see, because a bowl refers to the pipe that you smoke it at, that some people smoke it out of, or a bong, what have you, whatever flicks your switch. I don't know. It's tough to put into context, because being drunk is not the same as being high. When you're drunk, you can tell I'm buzzed. Okay, I'm a little more than buzzed. I'm drunk. I'm about to black out. I black out. There's not that kind of scale with marijuana. It's a 0 to 60 kind of thing. You're sober and then you're high, and then you're just going to remain high until you're not.
So it's more like flicking a switch.
Yeah, a lot more so than alcohol anyway.
So do you think that this 3 nanograms per milliliter is really allowing a lot? Or do you think that it's basically saying you take one puff and anything over that, you are now legally impaired and you will be arrested for impaired driving? I believe that the punishment that they're trying to institute are basically the same as drunk driving. You know, you'll lose your car, you'll lose your license. Do not go and get blitzed and then think you're going to go drive to Taco Bell.
Right. I mean, and I think the punishment should be the same, because driving impaired is driving impaired. I mean, people that are going to survive are the people that have the presence of mind, even when they're impaired, to say, I don't think I should drive right now. But I will say this, it's a lot easier to come to that conclusion when you're stoned than it is when you're drunk.
I've actually heard that. I've heard a lot of people say that they can tell themselves, their brain, you know what, I'm a little stoned and I probably shouldn't drive. Whereas when you drink, you go, no, man, I'm totally fine. And it's like the brain's trying to compensate for its own impairment.
Yes, marijuana lacks the aggression that alcohol has, and I think that's going to play a big part.
Which I think also goes into what we said about the different kinds of drivers, that with booze, you drive more aggressively and more erratically. With pot, you drive more defensively?
Maybe not more defensively, just more alertly. That's a word.
And then they also, as part of this...
Alerted, I guess, would be the word. Alerted.
I knew what you meant.
Sorry, I've been conducting some research myself earlier tonight.
I'm sure you have. Hey, have you ever done this show sober? Come on.
I have not.
Police did some tests and found, going back through their arrest records, and I believe this is still in Colorado, they found that people that get into accidents while having THC levels in excess of 3 nanograms per milliliter were only 2.7% of the cases, where 6.6% of the cases were drunk drivers. So basically they're saying it's still safer than driving drunk.
And again, I can't really bring myself to agree with it being safer than driving drunk. Just, I don't know. I mean,
it's dangerous.
That's a very thin line, but I think that might be it. It's just different, man. I don't know. Well, one thing I didn't get from the article, though, what sort of apparatus is being used to test THC levels?
Blood tests.
Okay, that fucking sucks.
So, yeah, and what happened was the police got a bunch of different, they went through a big different spectrum of people. You know, they got old people who smoke occasionally, young people who are stoners. They got college students. They got people that work at the hospital. They had a huge cross-section of people. They gave them all legal immunity, had them smoke right there in front of the police, and then they started driving. And the police would gauge them. They basically took a driving test after, you know, smoking so many things. And they found that most people were actually a better driver than when they did the same test with alcohol. So, I mean, I'm not a pot endorser, Charlie, but I'm actually seeing this probably as not as big of a problem as the Republicans are making it out to be.
Right. Well, I mean, there's something that nobody really understands about marijuana until they've used it semi-regularly for at least a certain amount of time. But the reason people fuck up on the road when they're sober is because they're, you know, we live in a distracting society. Everyone's got their whole bodies souped up with electronics. You're getting text messages and emails while you drive, fucking with the radio. Now there's more radio stations available now from all around the planet. I mean, we live in a distracted society. If you're smoking pot, I don't want to say you become focused, but at least more singular in your vision, you know what I mean? If you're driving, that's all you're thinking about. Like, I better not fuck up because I'm driving.
Well, and then I can also see places like Taco Bell. I can see places like the Taco Bell in Colorado. You said you're only a couple of blocks from one.
Right.
I can see the drive-through on that going 24.
Oh, they already do.
Because they're just going to be waiting for all the high people driving up that can't even read the fucking menu anymore.
That's why they have so many pictures on the menu, man.
Oh, so you can just, I think that's a two, right?
Something along those lines, sure.
But so do you think that this is going to be the legal issue that I think nobody I've seen talk about yet? What happens between state lines? Okay, you go and get baked in Colorado. You're driving into another state that has not legalized pot. Now what happens?
I think you should be safe until you sober up, because if you smoked the pot in Colorado and then you're high in Colorado, then you drive in Utah. You didn't smoke pot in Utah.
But you're still high in Utah, because that's the way it works with drunk
driving.
Which,
by the way, is the only way to go to Utah. I don't know if you've ever been there, but that's the only way to make it palatable.
I've seen SLC Punk, yes. But no, what I mean is, like, my uncle got a ticket for having this is back in the 90s, a Fuzzbuster when he went from Wisconsin, where they're legal, to Illinois, where they were illegal at the time. He got pulled over by a cop and was ticketed for having an illegal piece of equipment, even though he bought it and it originated in another state. So I think that if cops were smart and they wanted to get drug busts, what they would do is wait at the state lines, pull over the high people from Colorado as they cross into Utah.
You mean pretty much what they do in Arizona all the time?
Yeah, but they just have it in for brown people down there. I'm not sure if this is a good thing or a bad thing, because we should actually be asking the question of how high is too high. We really should be asking that question, since I can't get a real answer on what 3 nanograms per milliliter actually means. If that's just one toke, if that's a whole joint, if that's an entire bowl, I don't know just how blitzed you're able to be and legally still not get a ticket for it.
Yeah, funny thing about potheads is they're not super into math.
So
I have no idea what a nanogram is.
To me, a nanogram just sounds like not a lot. 3 nanograms per milliliter doesn't sound like a lot.
It sounds like it might as well be fucking parsec. It sounds messed up.
It sounds like you take one puff and there you go.
Right.
Whether you're blitzed or not, there are numerous states, including yours, that want stricter stoned driving laws. And do you know who's behind those?
Democrats, probably.
Yeah, pro-legalization advocates.
Yeah.
I don't see that as a bad thing. Hey, we legalize it so you guys can get high. We're also going to force you to be more responsible while
right.
you're high.
What
I don't
that
see
that
as a bad thing.
No, that's a fine thing. What that law says is, from all the people that got it legalized, we just worked our asses off for you. Don't fuck it up.
You do have some of the people, stoners mostly, who are saying that that's not fair to penalize pot more than you would booze drinking, because of the fact that they're actually, in quotes, better drivers than drunks.
I kind of see
that, too. I think both should have harsh penalties. I'm not sure if one should be harsher than the other, though.
I find most of that to be horseshit, though. You can't say, you know, the penalties can't be strong. I mean, when you're committing a crime, you don't really have a legal position to take. Do you know what I'm saying?
This is not a matter of degrees.
Right. Just don't drive impaired.
Yes, and that Charlie used the operative word, impaired. It doesn't matter if it's booze, doesn't matter if it's pot, doesn't matter if it's pills, doesn't matter if it's your prescription. It doesn't matter if it's because you haven't slept in 3 days. If you're impaired, you're impaired, and you should not be behind the wheel of a car.
Yes, most people that are concerned about the punishment are people that are likely to commit the crime.
They're people likely to get punished.
Don't commit the fucking crime, and it's not an issue.
Exactly. We'll be back after a heart attack, and we're not going to be tackling a news story. We're going to talk about the news itself.
Postmodern!
This is Ravi Shankar. As I travel around the world, I feel that the young people are searching for the means with which to attain peace, happiness, and spiritual awareness. Why not get high on life itself without using any drugs? You young ones, you have the elixir of life. You don't need hard drugs to make your life more meaningful.
I'm a little pissed off, and I know you're an ornery fuck this week, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the people at home don't know, but me and Josh, I was already biting Josh's head off as soon as he called me on the phone, and we were dealing with some technical difficulties because whoever's bugging my phone is jacking up these recordings, and it's making it kind of difficult on us.
Yeah, we're getting this boop, 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 boop in the background that's really fucking annoying.
Yeah, and I've got a landline. And it's just one of the reasons I'm getting ready to get rid of my Time Warner cable. And the big reason is, guess what, folks? The leaders of the entire online community, the people that are the biggest providers that hook you and your home up to the web, have decided that they're going to spy on you. That's right. With essentially no legal due process whatsoever, AT&T, Cablevision Systems, Comcast, Time Warner Cable, and Verizon are all going to be paying very close attention to your pipeline going to and from the internet. That means, folks, that there is now going to be a record. There already is. There already is with the ISPs. There's always a record of where you go and what you do. But you know what now? That's going to be even more clear and more concise as they keep a record on file of what you do on the web. Because here's the deal. This is the new six strikes plan. And these companies are going to watch you to see if you upload or download what they consider copywritten material. And they will cut you off from the web completely if you have six strikes. And these six strikes are decided by them. Now, if you are accused of doing something and you're saying, oh, well, you know, in America, I'm considered innocent until proven guilty in a court of law before my peers. Nope. Now, according to corporate justice, you have to pay $35 every time you contest an accusation. And the people that judge whether or not you are guilty are the people you're given the money, are the people that accuse you. Now, does that sound very fair to you?
It sounds like a built-in game. You know, you can't win a game like that, Hart. It's just
you're
ridiculous.
Not going to win that game. Well, here's a way that they're going to abuse this. I already know they're going to do this. There's a lot of innocent people out there that are regular people that go about their life and they don't do anything bad. They're just good Americans and they follow the rule. You people are going to be the ones that get falsely accused. They're going to turn this into a revenue-generating system. Wells Fargo was sued and lost over their overdraft fees. That's correct. Their overdraft fees. What was one of the things Wells Fargo did, Josh? Are you aware?
I seem to remember that they defaulted on numerous checks and loans and whatnot, and then charged you for the default.
Well, here's the trick, and I was a victim of this policy. This was done to me, and this really hurt me. This was during my wife's cancer, and Wells Fargo. I had three different accounts at Wells Fargo. And the trick would be you pay your rent with the big check that goes out on the first, and they get it first. They get the check first. But there's three more little checks, or maybe six more little checks, and what they'll do is they'll bounce the check that will cause your account to bounce more checks. Doesn't matter what order you wrote the checks or what order they were turned in, the bank will cash the check designed to cause you to go into default.
I've had that happen before. I've had that happen to me, where I've had a check come out and a deposit at the same time. You would think they'd take the deposit first to cover the check. No. They can't charge overdraft fees that way.
Well, it's even worse than that, Josh. Let's say you had four checks, and one of these checks, a $35 check that was written on Wednesday and was in their system on Wednesday, well, they're going to cash these checks in the manner that suits them the best, which is to get you to be into overdraft. So instead of bouncing one check, they will bounce six and charge you for six overdraft fees.
And then you start getting into a self-perpetuating cycle of, well, the overdraft fees are making me go even deeper in the hole, so I can't cover what I should have been able to cover before because now I'm in the hole from overdraft fees and I'm continuing to be deeper and deeper in the hole from overdraft fees, so you can't catch up.
That's right. And you know what else is wrong about this, guys, is we're paying them to provide a service to us. I pay Time Warner to give me good phone service, to give me my cable service, and to give me my hookup to the internet. When you go to the mechanic and you pay the mechanic to fix your car, Does the mechanic install a box in your car that monitors everything you do?
Don't give the government ideas.
No, they're already doing it because they're planning on putting a black box into every car. Every new car you get coming up in a year or so is going to have a black box that records everything your car does. And you won't have control over that information. See, this part of this ISP's Six Strikes plan is part of a wave of legislation designed to remove all of our rights as citizens. And if we don't take action, if we don't stand up for ourselves, you're going to have giant corporations like Marvel and DC just declaring that they own the words superhero.
They already
have. They're deciding they own them. They're already suing small publishers over this because they're trying to get a legal precedent set. But what I'm seeing here is a wave. We have here in where I live in Highland Park, I'm right by Pasadena, where they have a bunch of the NASA scientists are at the JPL Rocket Science Laboratory. And a few years back, they found out that every person who worked for NASA, every person that worked for JPL, had private information collected about them in files collected on them. And these people sued saying, hey, this is our private information. You don't have any right to keep this private information, who our friends are, who we call on a regular basis. And they sued, and this all the way went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled, oh, you got nothing to worry about. They're going to safeguard your information. Well, guess what? A couple years goes by, and 40,000 people, 40,000 pages of emails and private information is stolen from an unencrypted laptop left in the backseat of somebody's car at the parking lot of JPL.
Do you remember back in the pre-computer days when credit card scammers would go through the dumpsters at banks? Because nobody was shredding any of your bank account numbers, your socials, or anything like that. And remember, all these banks were, we protect your privacy, unless you go through the dumpster.
Yep, and as you'll find at a lot of medical facilities, when they go bankrupt, they tend to abandon their files. All your personal medical files get abandoned. Point I'm trying to make here, guys, let me bring this back, is we need to tell these people, I refuse to pay a corporation to spy on me. Because all you guys out there who love your little Google porn search and you can find your jack-off materials, do you guys want there to be a private record of you at the phone company of what kind of Catholic schoolgirls website you go to jack off to? Because that's what's happening, guys. The things that you do, that you read, that you don't want anybody else to know, that's the shit they're going to keep track of. And not by an anonymous number anymore. They're going to keep track of this by your name, by your billing address. You think this stuff isn't going to get subpoenaed for divorce court? We've already had laws about that where people would subpoena the video rental records at your local mom and pop video store because Wifey Poo said that you had kinky sex habits and they would use your video rental records against you in court. You understand what all this spying means? This means there's going to be a camera at your front door.
Pretty much. That's exactly
what this means. Your cell phone guys, your smartphone that you love so much that you get through AT&T, they're watching it. They're listening to everything you say, and they're recording it all of it. And that's just the fucking fact of the matter. This is a fact. This thing here, the Six Strikes plan, how the fuck do you think they're going to figure out if you're uploading or downloading illegal copyright material? And this is up for them to decide. You could videotape your baby doing a little dance to the Macarena, which is total fair use, and upload it to YouTube, you can get hit with one of these six strikes. Four strikes means that your internet speeds are redirected, your temporary reductions of internet speeds, you're sent to a different ISP to discuss your matters and review your materials and what you do on the web, educational information about copyright. Can you imagine when you got to have to pay to go to copyright morality school because you had six strikes? When you're listening to this, don't just get angry. When you get angry, your IQ drops about 5 or 6 points. Take a couple deep breaths and start thinking about how you're going to make the changes, because these things are never permanent. These ISP providers, AT&T, Cablevision Systems, Comcast, Time Warner, and Verizon, you start leaving them, because I'm going to leave Time Warner. I'm already today been on the phone to figure out who I'm going to switch to, and I'm going to keep you guys informed of that. We need to let these corporations know that We are human beings, and we expect a service that we pay for. If we pay for a service, we want the service that we paid for. I talked about the other week about pay cuts in the government could be impacting meat packers. We need to be in touch with our people, our representatives, our even the people at the corporations. When I was on the phone today talking to cable companies, I told them, I'm dumping Time Warner over this. I called three different places, and I'm trying to figure out who I want to deal with. And frankly, you people at home can too. You can contact these people at AT&T and all these other giant companies that want to crush you. I've been using demandprogress.org. That's demandprogress.org. And they've had some pretty good success at knocking back CISPA until the president signs it in a secret executive note, what the fuck that was. We can change these things. We need to rise up and start speaking out. And when you start spending your money differently, they're going to listen to you, guys. They're going to listen. This thing with Marvel Comics and DC claiming they own this superhero, it's horse shit. And they're going to lose. They're going to go down. It's not going to happen. You get what I'm saying? Who did they target first? Marvel and DC targeted Cup of Java, a small, tiny publisher? Well, that's exactly what happened to me when they sued me over the Jeffrey Dahmer comic. They thought they were going to get a legal precedent by suing a little, tiny guy and get that legal precedent. That's bullying tactics. That's like those guys on The Ultimate Fighter who want to find the weakest opponent so they can get to the next level. They're only lying to themselves. When you choose the weakest opponent to, quote, get yourself to the next level, you're declaring that you ain't ready for the next level, that you're not strong enough for the next level. And what I'm saying is you Americans out there listening are stronger than you know. You are the sleeping giant. You are the thing that they want to keep you drugged and distracted so you do not rise up, so that you are placated with your Domino's and your horseshit friggin' Burger King garbage and your Monster energy drinks. It's crap meant to placate you, because you can change things. It is very possible, and we're doing it. We're doing it. Last year, I threw my weight behind three different campaigns. I don't really do that much. I supported two Kickstarter campaigns, and I helped my friend Chris McDonough raise money and awareness to keep her house in the face of scummy bankers trying to steal it out from under her. And we won. We did it. The Kickstarter campaign that I threw my weight behind with Digger T-Mesh, he got it. He did it. Chris McDonough, she saved her house, guys. She did it. I just found out today that, yeah, Spirit Lake, they raised their Kickstarter. I helped these guys. I'm very proud of myself to get money for this Indian computer game that teaches kids math. You need to rise up and go make a difference. I've been talking to local businessmen here, and they're starting to have some success in beating back some of the changes that have been made here in Highland Park arbitrarily by our civic leaders, because they spoke up, because they got together and they became a part of the process of governance. And we can do it, guys. We can do it.
Exorcism is only the beginning of Exorcism's Daughter. In Exorcism's Daughter, you actually see an exorcism, then you witness the results, and when there's no place left to go, you can always go mad. Welcome to the House of Insane Women, the only place left to go when you're Exorcism's Daughter. No matter where you've been before, you've never seen anything like Exorcism's Daughter.
Now, Charlie, you're a little bit younger than I am.
I just
turned 38. You're what, 32?
33.
Okay, I was close. Even when you were growing up, when you heard news, like when you were watching the news at dinner time, you believed what was on there, right? You never like questioned, oh, this is on Channel 5. Channel 5 doesn't usually get it right. I don't believe it if I don't see it on Channel 2. I mean, the news was the news, right? It wasn't as opinionated as it is today, right? What do you think caused I'll use this word, the rift in the news? I think the word news has not only lost all meaning, it's actually taken on a negative meaning. Because to me, whenever I see, and I'm not just talking about on the internet, when I am seeing something even on my local news that seems too over the top to be real, it makes me doubt it now. I didn't used to do that. Have I grown more cynical, or has things like Fox News really kind of muddied the waters for everybody?
Well, I think it's a combination of many factors, man. I think I've always questioned the news, even when I was a kid, because my mom was a newspaper reporter for like almost 20 years. I would always hear shit about how only what's palatable to the public gets reported and stuff like that. But nobody accused anybody of flat out lying like they do now. And I think how we got here is a combination of a corrupt government and corporate consolidation. And I don't want to sound like a guerrilla radio conspiracy theorist, but that's what I think.
It's too late. You already do.
Yeah, probably. But I really agree with it, though, man.
You sound like an ad for Adbusters.
Yeah.
I think this all started, and I wish I could blame this on Fox News, but I can't. But Fox News, I think Fox News really amped this up in 1996 when they came on the air with their whole... The whole reason that Fox News was created, Charlie, was because they, and by they I mean Rupert Murdoch and Roger Ailes and the Republican Party, they saw a liberal bias in the media and that their voices were not being said, their voices were not being heard, so we need to create a conservative balance. Now, I'm sure you've all always heard this, that, oh, the media is liberal. I don't sure as shit see that. I think the media is conservative as hell, especially having worked in it for as long as I did. There's a conservative bias.
Yeah, I think there is. I mean, I'd be inclined to agree with that. Nobody on the news really says what they think. And I think that's a huge problem. I think instead of being able to express opinions, they're putting their opinions and calling them facts, just so it doesn't look like they're expressing an opinion. And I think that's where a lot of people's trust goes out the fucking window.
Well, do you remember when, back with like Walter Cronkite reporting on Vietnam?
Sure.
He would insert his opinion, but he would still not change the facts. He would not leave out facts that did not support his argument. And he was one of the most trusted people in America.
That's exactly why.
But can you see anyone, any newscaster today, any news organization that anyone can say is actually that level of trustworthy today? When technically in the era of the internet, that should make them more trustworthy because you can fact check them that much easier.
Right. Until you start crying.
Well, yeah, you get worn down after a while. I admit that.
But I thought I saw a news anchor like that, and I actually felt really inspired. And then I saw that it was the newsroom and that Will McAvoy is not a real person.
And see, while I don't really agree that I don't think that Keith Olbermann, who Will McAvoy is clearly based on.
Totally.
I don't agree that he is this bastion of hope that I'm looking for. He was one of the more even ones out there. He actually would encourage you, if you think I'm lying, look it up for yourself.
Right, but nobody else is going to say that. Maybe Anderson Cooper, but no one else would say something like that.
Maybe Rachel Maddow.
Maybe Rachel Maddow, I'll give you that too.
Because Anderson Cooper, after he got caught with that at the Sandy Hook funeral, his credibility's gone with me. After he was caught green screening himself live from the funeral of the Sandy Hook victims, his credibility's gone. I'm sorry, guys, you've got one shot. You blow your credibility once, it's gone with me.
Right, and rightfully so.
Mistakes can happen. I get that. There are screw ups, but that is outright lying.
When you would rather pretend to be there than admit that you couldn't be there.
Exactly. So
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So while I am not saying that I agree with Keith Olbermann, I am not saying that he was the modern Walter Cronkite. The point I'm trying to make is, I think it's sad that he's the closest we had at that point. Most of Fox News, if you ever watch Fox News Channel, you'll notice how very little news is on it. Most of what they have is opinion, and that's fine. But when did opinion become news? Bill O'Reilly, to me, is not a newscaster.
No.
He is a pundit. He is an opinion piece. So is Sean Hannity.
So is Stephen Colbert.
Exactly. So I don't understand why Bill O'Reilly is called a newsman while Jon Stewart is a comedian. I don't see why Sean Hannity is a journalist while Bill Maher is just a commentator. I don't see this difference. Can you explain to me what that is and how that came about?
It's because news and politics have become so goddamn strikingly similar in terms of not wanting to offend anybody. Always trying to be on everybody's side at all times. That prevents you from ever fucking saying anything real. The only people that will say things that need to be said in the context of a newscast are comedians, because they're not hindered by this innate need to please everybody at all times. And the only reason why the on-air anchors and pundits are like this is because they're controlled by owners of the networks, owners of the stations, owners that have a stake in the current administration or have a stake against the current administration. It's too fucking corrupt to take seriously anymore.
And corrupt is exactly what it is. Thank you for going there. And this started, I wish I could blame this on even the 90s. I really do. All the way back into the 70s, you started to see this in newspapers, where ad and sales divisions would start controlling the news content. Oh,
right.
You can't do that story on the Salmonella outbreak at that restaurant. They spend $2,000 a week in ads on in our paper. You can't do that. It will hurt the paper. When these papers started putting the advertising over the news, that's when you started to see it go down. And that's the corruption I believe you're talking about, and the consolidation that you spoke of earlier.
Right. I mean, when, you know, ads and sales start having a stake in content, I mean, what happened soon after? Cambodia was reported as a police action, like, years later.
Well, and then you get terms like that, like police action. Do you remember during while we were still invading Iraq, that leaked Fox News memo that said we don't want to call the American snipers snipers because it has a negative connotation to it. We need to come up with another word like long distance riflemen, something that doesn't sound as aggressive as sniper.
Well,
that's
manipulation
of the news.
Well, that's totally They're manipulation snipers. Of the news. But where did that come from? That came from an American public that freaks the fuck out over everything now. And who the fuck can blame us after 9/11? Jesus Christ. I mean, the media wouldn't feel like they had to protect the sensibilities of the American people if the sensibilities of the American people weren't so goddamn destroyed.
I think it's a circle jerk because I think the sensibilities of the American people were destroyed by the manipulation of the media. So it kind of is a snake eating its own tail. It's an Ouroboros, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a Dutch rudder equivalent of the decline of Western civilization.
And I think this is sad that nowadays, especially in the age of the internet, and I'm not picking on places like The Onion or anything like that, but with so many really good satire and fake news websites out there, whenever I read something like even about that the little girl we talked about last segment, I had to go check to see if that was real because it just seems so, are you shitting me? So I think the internet has somehow hurt the credibility of the news.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I don't know if the internet has hurt the credibility. I just think that's a perfect example. Like you brought up The Onion. I read The Onion and I watch The Daily Show for news because calling it a joke is the only way you're allowed by society to put your opinion into anything.
And I hate to say it, but when Jon Stewart takes apart the Republicans, when he takes apart the Democrats, he's the only one that's really doing that. That seems to not have an agenda. Because
right.
Obviously when MSNBC takes apart the Republicans go, oh, see, they're just the news wing of the Democratic Party. That's why. When Fox News takes apart the Democrats, it's the same thing. Oh, they're just the news wing of the Republican Party. When someone like Jon Stewart takes apart both sides, in a way you go, okay, yes, he does have corporate masters with Comedy Central, which is owned by Viacom, which has business interests in the Republican Party. Most of the investors in Viacom are hardcore Republicans. So in a way you can kind of go, maybe he's got a corporate dictate he has to hit, but it doesn't seem like.
I would say that if Jon Stewart didn't have the biggest liberal bias I've ever seen, and he does not try to hide it.
But
he goes
after liberals and their stupidity just as hard as he does Republicans.
He does. That's true. He does go after everybody. But I didn't really see it that clearly until 2004, presidential election. Jon Stewart's interview with John Kerry was the biggest bunch of softballs I've ever seen. And he's commented about it publicly. So that I'm not saying anything that he doesn't know. I think Jon Stewart does have a liberal bias. I just respect him more because he does not make any bones about it.
In a way, and I've got tons of issues with Bill Maher, But Bill Maher, huge libertarian, but I've seen him attack the shit out of Democrats as equally as he has Republicans.
Yeah, Bill Maher, he gets really vicious. I mean,
he does one thing that both Fox News, MSNBC, and CNN don't like. He backs it up with facts.
He does. He's the credible Hulk.
But see, like, I have issues with Bill Maher. I think he's sort of a false rebel. He, like we talked about in the last segment, you know, he's a pothead, and he'll never miss an opportunity to remind you of that. It's like he's going on this indie cred. Look at me! Look at me! I'm a pothead! Oh my god, I'm a totally admitted pothead! Oh my god, oh my god, I'm like this big rebel! He revels in the fact that he's this Hollywood rebel. And that's not what a real Hollywood rebel would do, is it?
Not really, but it is something comedians do. I mean, look no further than fucking Larry the Cable Guy. I mean, he's trying to hold on to an audience. He's not just, you know, a political-minded American. He's also an entertainer with a TV show that needs ratings. It's phony as shit, but I don't begrudge him that because he has a TV show to think about. That's his job.
I have an issue with false faces, and to me, he's just a phony rebel, but I agree with a lot of the things he says. So
yeah, I mean, he's inauthentic, but among newscasters, he's still pretty good.
Yeah. So, but do you think that the news is savable? Do you think that with Fox News, with CNN, with Headline News, with MSNBC, with Huffington Post, with the Daily Coast, with Media Matters, with all this stuff, do you think the news, as you and I grew up with it, is savable to get back to that point, or do you think it's just going to keep going down farther and farther until you really don't know what's credible anymore?
I don't think it's been savable since Newsweek made OJ blacker. I don't think we need to worry about whether or not the media is savable. I just think we as a people need to remain sharp enough to tell the difference. I think the media can do whatever it wants as long as there are at least a few intelligent people still around to tell the difference.
And see, I think when TV news started to really crap out was during the Bill Clinton did he or didn't he get his dick sucked scandal.
You mean, can you define is?
Do you remember the media frenzy on that? And sure. like you brought up, there was the OJ thing. News was the news, just, you know, I mean, I'm not talking Inside Edition and hard copy and stuff. I mean, real news was willing to go on the air with even the hint of some big breaking thing in the OJ case. Didn't matter if it was true or not. It was, you know, to me, when you call that news. But then there's also, and we cannot leave this out, Charlie, the fact that news isn't about news anymore. When Lindsay Lohan's arrest is in the A block with the overturned tanker truck of poison gas and the 9 police officers that have been shot, your priorities are all wrong. There's a reason that you have the D block. The D block is where entertainment stories go. Now, it's one thing. Okay, when OJ was arrested, yes, that was news because of the chase. I'll give you that, okay? The trial was not.
No, the trial was a year too long.
To me, I worked in a newsroom for a decade, and I saw them not only prioritize the dumb shit. Look, okay, I worked in the Green Bay, Wisconsin area. Green Bay Packers are huge. There was one day where a Green Bay Packer had gotten injured. There was also a police officer that had been shot, and a chemical truck had overturned on the highway, leaking dangerous chemicals, causing a neighborhood to be evacuated. Guess what the entire A block was?
Not what it should have been.
It was all about the Green Bay Packer. Oh my God, will he be able to play on Sunday? Your priorities, America, are all fucked up. I asked, and this is back when Brett Favre was a Green Bay Packer, I asked my producers at one point, point blank, and the fact that they didn't even hesitate in their answer disturbed me even more. I said, all right, Brett Favre gets gunned down at the local Shakey's, or Air Force One, you got to remember Bush is still in office, Air Force One with Bush and Cheney goes down. What do we lead with? Without hesitating, they said Brett Favre. That's what people in this area care about more. If they want to see George Bush, they can watch CNN.
God damn.
That just broke my heart.
That is harsh.
I mean, without hesitation, Brett Favre. That's what people in this area care more about. And it's like, that is, I think, a microcosm of what the news producers are like now, Charlie, and that sickens me.
Yeah, it's all self-interest, and it always has been. As soon as money enters into the equation, self-interest is not far behind. That's what's happened in the news. It happened a long time ago. It's never going to get better. We don't need it to get better, as long as we just keep our fucking brains where they're supposed to be.
Do you remember back in the 70s and really early 80s when the news department at a newspaper usually was, it was almost like a loss leader at a bar?
Sort of.
That, you know, the news department was not expected to make a profit. That's where you had the inserts and you had the comics and the commentary and the TV guides and all that crap. The news was not expected to make a profit.
Nope.
Then in 1984, when Ronald Reagan deregulated everything, they said, now the ad department is calling the shots and news has to make a profit or your reporters get laid off.
And it's been happening to every newspaper and privately owned station in this country.
Right. And that just, it sickens me. That's what, I mean, and the internet should have fixed that. The internet should have said, you know what? If you're not going to be a real newspaper anymore, I will. But what do websites do today?
They give you more shit faster.
But they also tailor their content to the advertisers that want to advertise on the website. Because, you know, running a website ain't cheap. It's the same thing that happened, but in a different medium. And what hurts me is the fact that it shouldn't have.
Right.
This should have been the savior of that, and it just succumbed to the same illness.
I'm just saying, when something doesn't turn out to be the savior it's supposed to be, all you can do is just stop needing a savior.
But then,
I know we weren't talking about religion, but it kind of went there.
Your final thoughts on the news of today?
Mourn its loss, say a prayer if you must, but move on. Just seek out your news by yourself. Don't sit back, wait for it to be spoon-fed to you so you can be told how to feel about it. Find the news for yourself, find facts, draw your own conclusions. That's the way I think it should be.
I'm still an ideologue here. I think it's still fixable. I think if you people, everyone out there listening to this, I think if you people banded together, you stopped watching Fox News, you stopped watching MSNBC, you started calling the local advertisers on your local news and saying, I am not going to patronize your restaurant anymore until you stop getting in the way of the editorial content. If enough people did that, I think we could switch back to that 1970s model. But I know it won't happen. I just think it could.
No, in a world where Jersey Shore gets better ratings than the History Channel, it's not going to happen.
Oh, no, I'll even one-up you on that. When the History Channel has nothing to do with history anymore, but it's about getting them gators.
Yeah, I guess there's not much of it.
You got to realize that's the world we're living in now, Charlie.
Yeah, I guess there's not much of a system to go back to.
Is there any history on the History Channel? It's the same thing. Is there any sci-fi on the Sci-Fi Channel? Not really.
Don't even bring up MTV. Yeah, way to end on a fucking bummer, man.
Where can we find Charlie Bringdown?
I'm going to be at the Denver International Airport filling in for a TSA agent friend of mine.
You're just looking to feel up some little girls.
Apparently the Special Olympics are coming through, so we got to stay sharp.
Where can people find your work?
You can find me on Facebook, on Twitter, and coming soon to geekjuicemedia.com, where you can find some of the shit that I do, but I am going to be posting a full-length comedy special that I was in this past Friday.
You can find me at the same Geek Juice Media, as well as 1201beyond.com, and contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And we will see you next week.
Indeed.
Piss out.